Okay, so do we have headphones, gentlemen? Are we still trying to work that out? Nolan, can anybody hear? Not yet. Okay. Whoa, okay, well, okay, let's try it again one more time. Nolan, I think you're the only guy that's on the show now.
I got some
okay,
headphones.
Okay, there we go. Let me tell you, Lord, technology of not having headphone adapters. I had to go through this with Craig Way of Light the Tower the other day. I literally went through the whole two-hour show turning the microphone on and off so I could hear what was going on in the other room. Because for those that don't know, if you don't have on headphones, you can't hear what's going on because the microphones cut off the audio around so that there's no feedback and you have a decent-sounding broadcast. So with that, I digress. It's Flex ATX. It is June 10th, 7:02, live, no Memorex. We got a lot to talk about tonight. First off, first pitch for the Rouse versus Hallsville State UIL 5A semifinal is going on right now. SHN Sports, kind enough to allow us to check in every now and then to get you caught up on the action. By the way, this is a one and done. If Rouse, by the way, Wharton College signee, Andrew Kithill, number 20, who, by the way, graduated like a week and a half ago. He's still pitching for the Varsity Rouse Raiders. He's on the bump tonight for Coach Chad Crimping. They got their 30th win of the season last Friday. A 2-1 walk-off win. Keegan Solomon RBI at 12:18 a.m. in the morning on Saturday. Rouse defeats a tough Dripping Springs team 2-1 in 14 innings. They'll play the winner of Barbers Hill versus Amarillo on Saturday at noon if Rouse can beat Hallsville. Welcome in, Zach Lucero. Zach?
I'm back. I'm here. Okay. I have all the pieces of the puzzle. I'm ready to go.
Dude, you basically went on a scavenger hunt just to
get Shout out Brad Kellner.
BK.
He's the sixth member of the Flex team.
Wow.
For sure.
Man, I got so much. I got between the merchandise and things actually going on, Rouse Baseball, I'm trying to find the audio of it. We just didn't come into the show very prepared. I do digress.
You know, you're talking about that extra inning win for Rouse.
Yeah.
What was that atmosphere like once it got to the wee hours of the night?
Let me tell you, not one person left. It was a sellout crowd at Concordia. Come 12:18, when I ran out on the field with Rouse to win, I panned to the crowd, not an empty seat. I cannot believe that many people stayed through a monsoon to watch a game that lasted almost 5 hours.
Yeah.
So, congratulations to Rouse, and I got to get the update on what's going on with that game. We'll keep you posted. Tonight on the show, Nicholas Hall. You heard RBKD teasing this, but Aikens senior lineman Nicholas Hall, he got his 13th Division I offer just a week ago from Texas A&M. He's actually going to Arizona State this weekend, but he's probably the biggest lineman star in the Austin area not named Connor Robertson.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, if you hear any other kind of publications or any other talking heads talk about SEC football, one thing they do right over there and one thing they produce is offensive line. For this guy to be at a school like Aikens that doesn't normally get the shine like that.
No shade.
No shade, but it's true. They normally don't get that kind of shine like that. And they have an offensive lineman that's getting SEC offers. I know he already has Ole Miss, just picked up at Texas A&M. I mean, the sky's the limit for this kid.
Yeah. And that's the real telling truth. And you think about another player maybe in a similar situation the year earlier with Alfred Collins out at Cedar Creek Bastrop, a team that hasn't had much success and definitely not really sending Division I players far. And they're saying that Alfred could be a future first-round NFL draft pick.
Yeah, I heard, speaking of RBKD, I heard Kevin talk about that earlier where they're like, that's who he projects to be the next first-round pick for the Texas Longhorns.
Oh, word?
Alfred Collins.
Oh, dog. That's my dog. If he becomes a super millionaire, we got to, you know. Come on, Alfred.
Sponsor the show.
Please sponsor the 707 tournament that we're working on, by the way. We got a lot in the works behind the scenes. All right, so Nicholas Hall, Aikens Eagles, 725. Very excited to talk to number 70. More people need to know his name and who he is. In fact, I want to say, man, I mean, he might be a hotter commit than Connor Robertson.
I would
from Westlake, by the way.
I think Connor has the advantage of being at a school like Westlake where people already know. Because if you were to say, have you heard about the kid from Aikens, they would say, what is Aikens? If you say, have you heard about the kid from Westlake? They'd be like, oh, Westlake, that's where this person went. But I think they're on similar trajectories, for sure. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about with him.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Offensive line talk. What our lead guest is an offensive lineman. This is how you know we flex his next level. Not the power tools, by the way. Issa Torres.
Well, shout out the power tools.
But shout out the power tools, for real. Hey, Issa Torres, Georgetown Eagles, super sophomore, shortstop. State Final Four, Texas A&M Aggie bound, coming up on the show at 7:30. I'm very excited to have number 23 on the show.
Yeah, I think this is a long time coming for her to be on the show. Like, really, the heartbeat that, like, pushed this team to new heights this year. I think she was, you could say that she was a big part in that game against Leander that really kind of brought them on the map and really opened people's eyes to this Georgetown team and what they've been doing all year and what East has been doing all year. And I think she has a sister or a cousin
that
or
plays
something
at A&M.
That plays at A&M from Hendrickson. So I gotta ask her why she wasn't at Hendrickson and why she's at Georgetown.
Okay, turn up. Yo, this show is deep. All right, it's called Flex ATX. Snoop Daniels, Zach Lucero, Nolan Hogan. That's at 7:30, Issa Torres. Then we're going to talk about Westlake SQT, and we will actually here in a couple of minutes, but we'll break it down even further. 16 teams gathering less than 13 hours from now.
Less than 13 miles.
Less than 13 miles as well. And they'll be fighting for two positions at College Stations. Big State 7-on-7 Championship Tournament, which happens June 25th through the 26th.
Now that's like in 3 weeks.
It is. That's coming up real fast.
That's coming up, yeah.
And a Flex will be in the house. We'll be there overnight. Well, it's going to be lit. That's all I got to say. Keaton Kubeka, speaking of the Westlake Chaparrals.
Speaking of trending.
Rock star trending wide receiver. Dude, our show hot tonight, for real. No cap. Keaton Kubeka, wide receiver for the Westlake Chaparrals, class of 2023, just coming off the visit from Texas A&M. He might be calling us from College Station, but he'll join us at 7:45.
He's probably calling us from the car on the way to another visit.
Yeah.
Knowing what all these high school athletes are doing, especially the big time guys like Keaton. I mean, this is what you hear a lot about Braylon James. You talk about the success that Jay Lambert's having. Keaton Kubeka is that type of talent. He's getting a little more shine in terms of the offers than Jay Lambert, but he's a guy that you're going to see playing on Saturdays at a school that'll be playing on TV.
He's 6'6".
Yeah, that's a big target.
He played for a Katie Taylor team that made it to the state a championship as a freshman. Started. So, you talk about the Braylon James comparisons. He started as a freshman for Stony Point. You might be right on there, Zach. Keaton Kubeka, if you don't know his name, we'll talk to him at 7:45. We've talked about Liberty Hill ascending to greatness as far as a football program, but we question them being able to have recruiting success. I think Lloyd Johnson is answering that with a resounding Panthers on the map. Lloyd Johnson, linebacker, defensive end for the Liberty Hill Panthers, coming up at 7:50.
Yeah, I think they also have another player on that team that's already gotten like a New Mexico offer.
Kate
McMahon.
Like
that. So already getting both FCS offers like Lloyd and then FBS offers in a New Mexico school. And I think that's huge. That's huge for Liberty Hill. They showed us last year that moving up a conference wasn't going
to
stop them
in
the success that they had on the field. And I think the next big leap for them is to produce a big time Division I talent.
Oh man, it's exciting to me. Liberty Hill, as time moves on, they have become more like Northwest Leander to me.
I think geographically they're like Northwest Leander too.
That's true. Well, yeah, because they're like right on the other side of Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
And Leander Glenn, they're rising to prominence. Their softball team is sick. Their basketball team under Coach Harkless, Byron Harkless, went to the state Final Four in 5A basketball this year. So
I'm interested to talk to Lloyd about what it's like being recruited at a small school like that. I mean, we talked about Nicholas Hall and getting recruited from Aiken. This guy's getting recruited from a school that was 4A just last year.
Correct. And then Paul Wall Rodriguez, he'll wax eloquent with us coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, everything from ATX recruiting to the walls and the curtains being pulled down as far as visiting for NCAA, and the kids are going nuts. Like, I mean, I would get jet lag. This is like some NBA, Major League Baseball type of stuff where they're zipping in and out of state, across the city, everywhere.
I talked to Braylon the other day, and He was
he's in Cali.
He hit Berkeley. He hit Stanford. And then he drove to USC, and now he's going to LSU from there.
That's so sick.
Yeah.
Oh, who's is his dad driving? Is he driving?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope they got freaking flyer miles or something. Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, we used to have a goat hour, which we'll probably bring back after the football season this year, but is where we bring on, you know, alumni that we've covered in the past. One of the best Cedar Ridge quarterbacks. You want to talk about a freshman being on varsity? He did the same. He played in a state Final Four as a sophomore against Allen, and now he's down at Texas Southern repping the ATX. Jaylen Brown coming up 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, repping the ATX and the HBCUs. I think that's a huge thing for him. Hearing him kind of talk about it, I got to catch up with him a little bit at the Westwood state qualifying tournament. That's where we kind of talked about getting him on the show. But for him to kind of talk about a little bit of the projection for Cedar Ridge here in the future, how they kind of bounce back from being a program that really was one of the top in the area. And I know statistically you said that statistically they are still the best team in the Round Rock area.
Yes.
To kind of get his thoughts on hearing stats like that. It'll be a lot of fun to talk to Jaylen Brown.
Whoa. So it looks like now got to update the Rouse versus Hallsville game, the state UIL 5A semifinal. Will now start at 7:45.
That's music to your ears.
That is, because that means that all I wanted to get is the final inning and the reaction of hopefully a win. And if not, just to honor this Rouse team, which I saw the Statesman write the other day, they had made they went 5 years ago, no district wins.
Yeah.
2, 5 years from now, several players playing on the 40 acres. We talk about Dalton Porter and Jarrett Southard. And now they're playing for program history. Every game they play in past the third round was history for them, and they're playing for a shot to play in the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, and that's one thing that Flex is always going to be. Flex is going to be the guy that showed up.
Yes. We always show up. Okay. So I guess, let me see. Let's change the mood a little bit. So you heard the guests that we're having on real quick breakdown again. Nicholas Hall, 7:25, Aikens offensive lineman. Issa Torres, Georgetown softball shortstop, 7:30. Keaton Kubeka, Westlake wide receiver at 7:45. Lloyd Johnson of the Liberty Hill Panthers at 7:50. Paul Rodriguez, recon athlete, 8:05. Jaylen Brown, 8 o'clock hour. Cedar Ridge, alumni, royalty, stay locked. Okay, Flex ATX at FLX ATX, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Thoughts on social, guys, real quick, before we talk Westlake SQT. Thoughts on what's going on the social scene?
Yeah, I think we're finally getting that wave of, like, less sports stuff, but people are finally getting able to enjoy their summer. There's a bunch of kids out there doing these recruiting trips like we're talking about, taking these official and unofficial visits. And then we have guys like Blake Youngblood, who was a top area talent, moved up to the Dallas area, but finally able to get back to Austin and hang out with some of his Vandy friends and people going on trips to the beach and stuff like that. You forget by how such high level these players are. You forget that they're still kids and they still want to have a summer. They still want to do all these fun things. And I think we're finally getting able to see that on social media a little bit.
Yeah, it's lit. Knowles, got anything social scene? What have you seen? Your view on the culture right now?
I mean, I think it's just getting started. I think everybody's getting back to being normal and getting to having fun again, like Zach said. And it's going to be a fun summer. I'm looking forward to it. So.
All right. For us, we're real busy here, less than 13 hours, less than 13 miles away from the Flex Studio, Westlake State Qualifying Tournament, 16 teams, two of them not from the Austin area, and so we'll get them out the way. The Bridgeland Bears and the Brandeis Broncos. Thoughts on those two teams? They're in C and D, respectively.
Brandeis, one of the schools from San Antonio that's really known for their offense, so I think 7-on-7 will treat them well. The head coach that they have, I'm pretty sure he's still there at Brandeis, is part of that Allen High School coaching tree, so they're always going to be kind of mentioned as one of the better teams in San Antonio. And then this Bridgeland team.
Yes. Cringe land, as Vandergriff likes to refer to.
Yeah, Vandergriff played them in the first round of the playoffs a few years back.
They sure did.
And that's a team that wasn't that great. They were new. Brand new school, barely made the playoffs, still a very competitive team, competitive game, and now they're one of the best teams in the state.
Yes.
You look at any publication, kind of ranking teams, Bridgeland Bridgeland High School, Bridgeland Bears, is right up there at the top, and it's a lot of a big time thanks to their quarterback. I don't have his name off the top of my head. Me and Kevin Dunn were trying to think of, or me and BK were trying to think of it earlier.
But this is a Texas A&M commit. Bridgeland quarterback. Connor Wigman.
Yeah, Wigman. He picked up a Texas offer at the end of the year last year, which kind of seemed like just kind of a trying to get some more numbers offer. Yeah. And then now this kid has exploded. He was named an Elite 11 finalist with...
He was a sophomore on that team that played Vandegrift, I'm pretty sure.
Elite 11 finalists with Cade Klubnik, with Quinn Ewers, with the kid that's committed to the University of Texas right now. This is a big-time talent. Could be going to Texas A&M, but still has that UT offer sitting in his back pocket.
All right, so those two teams are in it. We don't care about
and
them.
We'll never talk about them again.
We hope y'all lose. We hope y'all lose. Man, it made us – well, you know, a College Station came in of the first SQT state qualifying tournament of the year. We had a College Station come in and take a slot at the Warrior Westwood SQT.
You know, I was looking at somebody – I think it was – it's Hutto is opening the season against College Station.
Yes.
The, like, actual – 11-on-11 season.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun, because it'll be fun for us on the show to kind of talk about what me and Nolan witnessed at Westwood with that College Station 7-on-7
team. Yeah, that's 78 days from today. The season starts in 77 days. Anderson versus McCallum in the Taco Shack Bowl. So I got like 90 seconds, so I'll just run down quickly, and we will go back over these later in the show. This is live until 9 o'clock. Flex ATX at Austin Area High School covers like no one else. Pool A at Chaparral Stadium tomorrow. Westlake, which is already qualified. Bastrop Bears, Lehman Lobos, San Marcos Rattlers. It's your four teams in Pool A. Quick thoughts. 90 seconds.
You know, it's a lot of teams that we haven't seen this year. I'm excited to see what Bastrop has. I saw they have some really sick jerseys for 7-on-7.
Yes.
But it's a San Marcos team. I know it's a relationship that Flex is trying to build with the program and a brand new coach over there, and Coach Walsh. I think I can see San Marcos come out of this pool.
Oh.
Well, obviously because Westlake can't.
I like it.
No Cade Klubnik for Westlake either.
Okay, got like 60 seconds. Pool B, Hutto, already qualified. Bowie, Liberty Hill, and Cedar Park. This is a fun one.
Liberty Hill will be really, really interesting to watch, because if you know Liberty Hill, they don't throw the ball. So the 7-on-7 is probably the most fun that offense, that those receivers and that quarterback are going to have all year long, so that'll be fun to watch. Cedar Park looked really promising in that Lake Travis SQT.
Yes.
But the big name that really sticks out to me on all of these pools is the Bowie Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get it done. They got to get it done. Or else they're going to be driving all over Texas looking for another SQT.
All right, real quick, because we got like 30 seconds. Pool C is Lake Travis, which is already qualified. Westwood, Vista Ridge, and Bridgeland. Pool D, Anderson, which is already qualified. Round Rock, Brandeis, and Dripping Springs.
I think Pool C, unfortunately, I think Bridgeland comes out of that, but I think the next best team there, not including Lake Travis, is Vista Ridge. And then Pool D, Anderson really kind of shocked a lot of people, beating Temple in the SQT last year to qualify for state. So they're kind of coasting now. But I would really, really like to see Round Rock qualify for SQT. I'd love to see those guys in College Station.
Back in 5 minutes. It's a Flex.
Yo, you know what it is, everybody, man. It's a Thursday night. Flex ATX. I'm your host, Zach Lucero, at Zach Ain't Whack on all social media. Normally sitting across from me, but he's down at the vending machine getting us all dinner. It's Baby Goat Nolan Hogan.
Dinner.
Over at Snoop's desk, cutting up some video. BK. BK's still in the building, so I got to shout him out.
Well,
and we are getting produced by a local legend. If you haven't heard of him, you probably just can't hear Mr. Snoop Daniel himself.
Hey, Zach. All right, so excited to talk to number 70 of the Akers Eagles, Nick Hall, on the phone right now. Nick, I appreciate you, fam. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, I got to say, you are the biggest rock star lineman in the ATX. And we were having a debate. We were like, is Connor Robertson like the hottest thing in Austin, or is it Nick Hall, because how he's coming on? And, you know, like, can you talk about what it means to get the kind of, you know, recognition that you've achieved here, especially over the last few months?
It feels good personally and for my school, getting this recognition. You know, been working hard since freshman year, and then I get my first offer sophomore year, and it just, like, meant the world. And then from there, it just took off.
Yeah, and just kind of to stay on the topic of the recruiting, we saw the NCAA lift that dead period a few weeks ago. Being at a school that normally doesn't get that type of recruiting, that recruiting shine like Aikens, how big was it, and how much help is that for you in your recruiting now that that dead period is over and you can start taking these visits and talking to coaches and things like that?
It's definitely important. You know, I can finally meet these coaches in person, shake their hands, get a feel for them. It really helps me clear my decision because you can only do so much on a virtual visit and stuff. But going next to these places, hanging out with the players and all that, it really clears my mind on some of these schools.
Nicholas Hall, class of 22, offensive lineman, Aikens High School. Tons of D1 offers, I think like 13 or something like that.
13, 14, 100, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7. Go ahead.
But yeah, man, so you kind of mentioned it when you were answering Snoop's question, but what do you think, because you're a guy that's eventually going to be playing on Saturdays, you're going to be starting on a big stage somewhere, what do you think having you at that next level, what is that going to do to the program over at Aikens?
It's going to really hopefully open some doors, maybe get some players to come, I don't know, just hopefully gives them some opportunity and some hope at Aikens. You know, I'm glad I can finally shine a light on the program. But yeah, hopefully just helps out Aikens in the future with football and other things.
Can you talk a little bit about just like the culture over at Aikens? I feel like people forget how storied of a program Aikens High School is, and just everything to do with Aikens has just been around for so long. Can you talk about just the culture being an Aikens Eagle?
Well, Aikens been around for a while, just not really had, you know, the best football teams, best basketball teams, best anything, but we definitely still fight. We definitely put our all into everything we do. That's just, we know, we're trying to make our underdog story come up, but we're working at it slowly and hardly, so.
Yeah, you know, you just got to set, you know, the new tone, and really I feel that you are the best player to come out of Aikens since Teddy Lowry. Seriously, Nick Hall on the phone. Nick, I'm done. Zach, you got a final question, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, Nick, so we talked about all your offers, how you have like 1,300 million, billion, and now that this dead period is over and you're going on visits, and what's up next for you, or what schools are on your radar that you're going to be checking out here in the last few months of summer?
I'm flying into Arizona tomorrow, so packing up for that, and then after that, I got Oklahoma State, and then I got one to Kentucky, and then I'm waiting to fill in that fifth spot. So I'm just talking to these schools now and trying to figure that out.
And for all the recruiters and coaches and fans that are probably listening or that'll be checking out the show when it gets posted on SoundCloud, what are you looking for in your ultimate home for the next for your college career? What are the things that are you really going to be looking for in these visits?
I would mostly look for a place where I'll be comfortable, a place where we'll win, a place where they take football seriously. So just a home environment and eager to win.
Nicholas Hall, class of 22. If you haven't heard of him,
yes,
you probably just can't hear because he is a big deal.
He's going to be the first Eagle in the NFL. Mark that down. Go ahead.
Nicholas Hall, hey, before we let you go, bro, who are you shouting out to?
Yeah.
Just my Eagles family and Austin, so
hey, put 512 on the map. Nick Hall. Nick, thank you. I appreciate it, fam. Thank you.
Sir.
It's a flex, Zach. There we go.
Man,
number 70.
That dude don't even realize yet how big of a deal he's gonna be, man. I just like you said, for Austin, for the community, for Aikens, for the position in the area. I think that's one thing that ATX is rightfully starting to get a little more love in recruiting, but where it's not getting the love is along the offensive line. I think people don't really think of Austin, Texas as a hotbed for offensive line talent, but with him and Connor Robinson and things like that, I think he's really starting to widen the horizons for ATX recruiting, and it's going to be he's going to be a big piece of that.
He had good moxie, he had good presence, you know, you can tell he hasn't done a ton of interviews, but he showed like potential, and I love it when the linemen are.
Maybe that could be our summer event, is having like a class for these kids to take about how to do interviews. Like a workshop.
Hey, no cap. I mean, like, for real. That's we should actually consider that. All right, so best of luck, Nick Hall. Where did he say he's going? To Arizona State next?
He's going to Arizona State. Yes. He's got Oklahoma State, and he's got Kentucky.
Yes.
Well, you're talking about driving all over the state, all over the country.
Lexington, Kentucky. That's where
Arizona to Oklahoma to Kentucky.
That's wild. That's wild. Just got the Texas A&M offer on June 1st. So let's talk to somebody who already is committed verbally to Texas A&M.
Maybe she can recruit Nicholas Hall to go play for Texas A&M.
And we got
to
bust out the applause once again. Georgetown super soft, Issa Torres on the show. Issa, what's up, girl? Yeah.
Hi.
You're like, y'all crazy. Issa, for real, you a beast. Can you kind of talk about, you know, what your sophomore year meant for you and beating expectations and just really putting your name more so on the map?
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a big deal my sophomore year, transferring in, you know, being the new girl and everything. And I think it was really big for us because a lot of people doubted us and our team and our talent that we had. And a lot of people were just negative Nancy's towards us and didn't think we could do it. But, I mean, we proved a lot of people wrong this year. I'm really proud of us.
Yeah, I think you definitely did prove a lot of people wrong. Yeah. I think not only people in the area, but people across the nation that really had Leander as the team to beat in the Austin area. The team that you guys saw during the regular season and came back to beat them when it really mattered. Can you talk about that game and what all you're going to remember from that game? Mm-hmm. I think that was a series that people are going to be talking about in Austin for a really long time.
I said Leander should have walked you, by the way, before that double. But anyway.
Yeah. It was a pretty big game to us. And the fact that we came together and won after losing game one pretty harsh, I think that was really big to us. And I think it motivated us that, you know, we had more talent. We were more talented than them. And we were just overall the better team. And so I think that really helped us pull together and win both of those games back to back.
Yeah, Issa, you've really been like one of the best players in the area all season long.
Yeah,
and I wanted to ask you, did you transfer from Hendrickson? Because I feel like my sister played at Hendrickson with a girl with your same last name that is also at Texas A&M.
Yeah, I played at Hendrickson my freshman year, and I transferred sophomore.
Can you talk about just like the culture over there at Georgetown? Because I think people do recognize Georgetown as a softball school. Can you talk about what it's like playing that sport at that high school?
Well, I mean, before transferring, I didn't really know how much talent we had and how much that we were going to have. And then I went there and I noticed how big the softball world is at Georgetown and how a lot of good athletes play for that program. And so I think it was a great move for me, not knowing how much talent that we would have coming in. So I'm glad I, you know, moved.
And what does your summer look like now? We see people posting like they're at the beach and they're doing all this crazy stuff. But I know softball is a year-round sport, and when high school season ends, you really get into gear with select softball. Who is your select team, and what does your summer look like?
I played for Hotshots Nation. I played for Hotshots Nelson, based out of Houston. And I mean, we're traveling the whole summer trying to win some national championships this summer. And we're a pretty talented team based out of Houston. And I mean, we're just going for those natties this summer.
Hey, Issa, real quick, I want to ask you about the youth movement at Georgetown. Because, I mean, like, you are, like, as a sophomore young yourself, but you talk about Hartley, and you talk about Credor, and you talk about Krieger. I mean, like, just the amount of talent that y'all have, and y'all are so young.
Oh, man. I'm so excited that we have such young talent. We won't lose it for a few years. And between us and the freshmen and the sophomore class, we make up pretty much our team. And I mean, man, we're so talented at a young age. It's so great. Like, we won't lose that talent until all of us leave. And I mean, I'm pretty sure we'll have more coming in this year. So I'm pretty excited to see what our future holds at Georgetown softball.
I want to see Georgetown ranked number one in the state for softball this year. It's going to happen. I'm telling y'all, man.
I think so, too. I mean, we still have that much talent to where we can be ranked number one.
Yes. Zach.
Issa Torres, class of 23, shortstop for the Georgetown Eagles. Issa, one last question for me, being that we are the official radio network for Longhorn Athletics, why Texas A&M? What was it that really stuck out to you about eventually going to be an Aggie?
Well, my older sister's a freshman there this year, sophomore next year for Aggie softball, so that was a really big part of it. And I just like the community, the environment that, you know, I'm going to be in, the coaches, you know, the stadium, Davis Diamond, it's amazing. And the program, it's just an overall really great program that, you know, I'm excited to join.
Issa Torres, thank you so much for coming on the show. We look forward to covering you and watching you ball out the next couple of years, just like you did this year. You're going to do nothing but get better. Before we let you go, who are you shouting out to?
Shout out to my freshmen, Madison Hartley, Jordan Fritter. They're my homies.
That's what's up. Issa Torres, number 23. She on her Jordan flow. Jordan time. Forget demon time. Jordan time. Issa Torres, EFND. Issa, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, that's what's up. All right, it's a flex. Zach.
Yo, she's really good at softball. Yeah. Like, if there wasn't someone that you could, anything else that you could take out from that video of that series against Leander, other than them beating that Leander team, was dang, who was that shortstop? Watching her play on both sides of the ball, defensively and hitting for power, hitting for average. She's definitely one of the big time pieces of talent in the area.
Power, average, even when she was hitting into outs, she was the hard contact rate always up. And again, at shortstop, she's like a wall. I saw her make a couple of diving stops, smart plays on turning twin killings. It's really tough to turn a double play in softball, but she has the hands to do it. And really, I think I saw her family hanging out with Maddie Azua, who's also a sophomore who plays for Round Rock. So I think there's this like clique of really elite softball talent in the Austin area, and it just so happens they are super young.
Yeah, I think that like Pflugerville, Round Rock area especially is super hot in terms of softball talent. We see what Cedar Ridge does every single year in softball. And then Georgetown. Georgetown, I think for the longest, has just been known as a team that, or an area that is going to produce softball talent, and that starts at like the recreational league kind of level. And what they do, having a sister that played softball. I remember like when she was still playing league softball, and she would run into those Georgetown All-Star teams. Those girls were so good. Those are the girls that eventually turn into Georgetown Eagles.
And big shout out to Coach Jessica Bond. We got them to dump her with the Gatorade after clinching state. So Coach Bond, I think she's going to get a couple of more Gatorade showers in Issa's tenure. Two more years. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back. It's a flex.
The triple option.
Jeff Perlman has a book about that. Not written
Jesus.
Hey, you know what it is, everybody? You know we had to come into this one just a little bit more low key, a little bit living easy on this one. Flex ATX Thursday night. I'm your host, Zach Lucero, at Zach Ain't Whack on all social media. Sitting across from me is the baby goat himself, Mr. Nolan Hogan. Say what's up.
How's it going? What's up?
And we are getting produced by a local legend. If you haven't heard of him, you probably at least seen him. His name is Stoop Daniel.
Yeah, Fox 7 Austin, check me out. You can see me tomorrow, 9:45, with Dave Fralick. I think I'm going to try to take a break from the Westlake SQT, run back to Flex Studio to do the interview. But if my phone holds up and allows me to, I'll do it live on location from Westlake SQT tomorrow, 9:45, Fox 7 Austin.
You know, you really could just run back to the studio.
It's less than 13 miles. Okay, well, that's a little long. And in fact, okay, so Liberty Hill, like we said, we're super interested to check them out in SQTs tomorrow. And let's bring on Lloyd Johnson right now, who's one of the hottest defensive recruits at Liberty Hill. Lloyd, are you playing on that SQT team tomorrow morning, or are you going out there, or are you still just running around doing visits, or what's your plans?
Yeah, I'll definitely be out there with my guys competing.
Okay, good. Are you going to play, or are you just going to be supporting?
No, I'm going to play, man.
Oh. He can get some picks.
Oh, let's go. Let's go.
He can pick him up some offers and pick off some footballs on the next day.
Y'all, Lloyd Johnson, a beast, y'all. Liberty Hill Panthers, moments ago got the offer from Sam Houston State. Can you kind of tell us how that came about?
Yeah, man. Well, I've been doing a bunch of camps lately. I had SMU on the 5th, HBU. Yeah, over in Houston on the 7th and SFA on the 8th. But, you know, I had a real good day on the 5th at the SMU camp, caught some eyes, fortunately. And after my HBU offer, Sam Houston came around and they said they love what they've seen and, you know, they offered. So that's how that went, you know, it's a blessing.
Yeah, we have you listed here as a linebacker and defensive end, and I know what schools are looking for is that versatility, and especially with the size and the frame that you have. And one thing that's going to build that versatility is being able to play 7-on-7 with the speedsters out there. Can you talk about just about 7-on-7? Is that something that y'all did at Liberty Hill even before moving up to 5A, or is this a new thing for you guys?
No, yeah, it's definitely something that they've been doing for a while now. And it's something that I'm looking forward to be a part of. It's my first year doing 7-on-7. But, you know, I've been playing all types of different positions my whole life. I definitely go up and get the ball. You know, it's going to be fun.
And then, so you talk about that linebacker position, probably where we'll see you tomorrow. What do you, as a defensive guy, what do you, obviously it's not tackle football, so there's like kind of a lot of things that you cannot do as a defensive player. But what's the mindset that you go into a 7-on-7 tournament with, or what's something that you try to emphasize working on when you're out there at Westlake tomorrow?
Really just remembering all my calls, you know, if I can line up and know, you know, what got to be on and, you know, how to play different scenarios and situations. That's definitely something that I think about and go into tomorrow, you know, thinking about.
Lloyd Johnson, Liberty Hill, Division One bound, yes. Lloyd Johnson. Hey, so what is it like being navigating the whole recruiting thing at Liberty Hill? I know people know Liberty Hill for the success. They know Liberty Hill for the offense that they run. They know Liberty Hill for their success in the smaller school kind of ranks. Now that you're kind of transcending that, and you have some guys on your team with you that are transcending what Liberty Hill has been known as,
yes.
kind of building off of last year's success in 5A, what is it like kind of building this culture of Division I talent at Liberty Hill that's really starting with you?
It's been good. You know, got a roster full of guys that are hungry, ready to get back after it. So, you know, we all busting our tails. That's really what it's about, man. That's the culture that we hold. You know, we hold each other accountable at Liberty Hill, and because of that, you know, I've gotten so much better. You know, not even just team standpoint, but as a person, individually.
You know, we talked to Nicholas Hall from Aikens, the offensive lineman that has a bunch of Division I offers, including SEC schools. And we talked to him about now that they lifted this dead period in recruiting, how much that's going to help him being at a school like Aikens, where although he's trying to build that culture, it's not a school that a lot of coaches are making visits to. And that's kind of the same deal with Liberty Hill. It's such a small school. A lot of these big time recruiters don't know about it even. But now that this dead period's over and you can start visiting the schools, how much is that going to help you really get your name out there?
Oh, a lot, man. Let me tell you, these camps and everything, just, you know, like you said, Liberty Hill is not highly recruited. So there's something that you definitely got to do in terms of getting out of your way, like going out of your way to, you know, go down to Houston or Dallas to go to these camps. So you really just got to show out whenever you got the chance and go the different measures to be seen at Liberty Hill.
Yeah, speaking of showing out, man, that's what you guys did this last year, moving up to 5A and really not missing a beat. You guys were beating up on people that I don't think a lot of people even had you in the game with heading into the season. But how do you guys continue to do that next year? I think a lot of people will see you guys coming this year as opposed to last year when you were sneaking up on a few teams. But how do you kind of expound on that success? And then what are the names of some of the guys that we should be looking out for next year?
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, the way things go at Liberty Hill, just, you know, we use the words like toughness and you know, it goes a long way for us. You know, we got our off season, the craziest off season ever, man. You know, we push each other to get better, and that's definitely you know, so a lot of people that got to step up. But you know, it's going to get done. We got all the time to get it done. We definitely going to get ready with a chip on our shoulders. But a lot of guys you can look out for is like Anthony Thomas, linebacker, K-Mac, Aaron Stewart, Rocket, myself, Noah Long. You know, those are some guys that you know.
Dog, y'all going to be raw as heck on defense, bruh. I mean, between Andon and Aaron, they average like 10 tackles per game. And then you talk about Caden on the come up and Rocket. Dog, y'all going to be raw. Anyway, go ahead. Quarterback question, yes?
Yeah. So Lloyd, I know that the quarterback position has so much responsibility in that offense you guys run over at Liberty Hill. Right. Charlie Calbreda last year really taking the reins on that and having a great season as we normally see that position do at Liberty Hill. Who's next up and what can you tell us about him?
That's a good question, isn't it? But Will Suchek is definitely somebody who's been busting his tail to get that position. And, he's a hardworking guy, not even on the field academically. He's somebody that y'all definitely got to look out for. He's going to make a real big come up this next season.
Lloyd Johnson, linebacker, Liberty Hill, Division I bound. Real quick before I let you go, speaking of Division I bound, you talk about about all the camps and stuff you've been going to and the offers you've been getting. What are some of the other schools that are on your radar or schools that you plan on visiting here as the summer continues?
Yeah, well, I know I'll be going up to Sam Houston on a visit sometime in the fall. But, I've been talking to a few other schools, Washington State, University of New Mexico, just a few other schools,
You know, we had a famous punter from the area go punt at Washington State. I don't know if you ever heard of Oscar Degrisovich, but I'll have to link y'all so he can tell you a little bit about what it's like playing football over there. But Lloyd Johnson, man, we appreciate you so much for coming on the show, man. You are definitely up next, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow. Pick some balls off and do some crazy stuff on the football field, man. But before we let you go, who are you shouting out?
Ken Walker, Liberty Hill Football, class of 2022. And my mom, definitely.
Yeah, that's what's up. Gotta shout out your mama. Lloyd Johnson, I'm telling y'all, Liberty Hill gonna be so raw next year, bro. And Noah Long is coming. I know, like, we're shouting out this other Noah Long dude that go to Lehman, and the Liberty Hill one is like, I'm the better Noah Long, and he probably is, but we gonna see him tomorrow, too. Lloyd, thank you.
Hey, look for us tomorrow, bro. We gotta definitely link over there at Westlake.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, it's a flex, Zach.
Yeah, man, that's so fun. I think when Liberty Hill, having Liberty Hill as a competitive team in 5A was so fun.
Yeah,
it was so fun last year to follow them and Lloyd Johnson's a big piece of that.
All right, Westlake SQT is tomorrow. I'm not sure if we're going to see Keaton Kubeka because he is a very busy man. He's like one of the hottest receiving recruits, class of 23 in the nation. But Keaton Kubeka on the phone right now, number 5. We appreciate you joining us. Thank you, fam.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Hey, so, like, are you in College Station right now? Like, we just saw the Aggie pics on Insta. I'm like, he might be traveling right now or in Aggie World. Or where are you at right now?
I just got back like an hour ago from the camp today.
I'm about to say, are you calling us from Jimbo's office right now?
Yes.
Nah, I just got back. It was a long day.
Can you talk about that visit and what it was like for you and just realizing that you're that level of talent, that you're going on visits like that and how fun this recruiting process is going to be for you?
Oh, it's been so fun. I get there and I walk straight into their amazing weight room, and it's just there, just like seeing all that and seeing their like nutrition center just really made me realize, like, I don't like to take a step back and be like, wow, like I'm really here and just soak it all in. And then we have to go take those cool photos y'all saw. And
why are you wearing so many armbands?
That's the swag, bro. It's Drew.
Yeah, you got to.
Did you have to ask him for more? They gave you like one, and you're like, nah, I'm going to need more than that.
they were all sitting in the lockers, so we got there.
That's what's up. That's incredible.
You're telling the other recruits, like, hey, if you're not going to use yours, can I have them?
Hey, Keaton Kubeka, Westlake Shafts on the phone. He's road weary from traveling from College Station, but can you tell us real quick about the offer from U of H? We love University of Houston here and how that came about.
So I called the coach yesterday. I was on FaceTime when he offered me, and he was just telling me, like, he watched my film, and he has a good friend over at Texas, and the coach at Texas told him I balled out at their camp, and he talked to with him about me a lot, and he got a good feel for me. I guess he went ahead and just offered me from his word at my camp.
The Houston area probably thinks they own you. They're like, I know he played for Westlake, but he's from Katy. That's where he originally from. So they're just trying to get you back.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've been to Houston a lot.
Yeah, Keaton, big time receiver, big body guy at 6'6 or 6'11 or however tall you are, taller than me.
Yeah.
But I know 7-on-7 is something that's so fun over there at Westlake, and you guys take it so seriously. Already qualified for state. I don't know if we're gonna see you at the SQT tomorrow. But can you talk about what 7-on-7 has been like so far for you in the Shaps this season?
You will see me tomorrow. I'll be there. But
yes,
it's been really fun. Actually, we've definitely got to come a lot together and build an even bigger brotherhood this year, and got to see what next season is going to be like, and kind of where we're starting right now. We're not where we need to be yet, but we're definitely kind of just practicing right now and getting ready for the 2021 season.
You know what I think was really good for y'all, was really awesome, was seeing y'all lose in that Westwood SQT and then come back in the Lake Travis one and just destroy everybody. I was like, man, they learned so much off of that loss, and I think they really like kind of snapped out of it and just punished everybody that next Lake Travis SQT. But Keaton Kubeka, wide receiver, Westlake, D1 bound. I've been asking all the other guys this. Now that this recruiting dead period's over, you're taking all these visits and you're talking to these coaches. What other schools are on your radar, and what are some of the other visits that you have coming up this summer?
So next camp I got, I'm going to TCU this week and taking a visit there. And then I have an unofficial with Kansas in July, another visit with Duke coming up the 20th of June. Sometime in July, I'm going to go up and see Arkansas State. The 29th of July, I'm going to go on an unofficial to Houston. And I'm trying to get one the 31st, Baylor. I'm still talking to the coach about that.
Okay. And are you planning on playing at State in College Station? I know it's like a few weeks away and no telling what will happen, but...
Yes, sir. I'll be there.
Okay, good. Oh, man. Yeah, no, because you got to get the state jersey, bro. Because you'll probably, like, once you're in the NFL, you'll probably still be rocking that jersey. Like, I remember State 707 winning state. Lake Travis, like, nah, fam, we winning state. Anyway, go ahead. All right. Keaton, thank you. Before we let you go, you shouting out to anybody?
Shout out to Westlake Nation and the community.
Keaton Kubeka, number 5. He on the rise. Thank you, KK. Thank you, bro.
Yes, thank you.
That's what's up. It's a flex, Zach.
That's a big body right there. That's a big body, man. Even call him the Suburban. He's a big body out there. He's tough to guard, and definitely a big weight off of Cade Klubnik's shoulders having a guy like that to throw to.
Yeah, he was robbed of a touchdown against South Lake Carroll last year. One of three illegal men down the field calls by the offensive line by that group of officiating. But that's okay. It could have been worse against South Lake Carroll. That's all I'm saying. I'm not hating on Quinn Ewers. Just saying it.
Anymore.
All right, let's take a break before we go down that road. It's a flex.
Flex ATX, Thursday night, hour number 2. The time is 8:03. We had a great first hour of guests. A lot of D1 talent in the first hour. 7 o'clock is strictly D1. If you're not D1, don't bother calling in the first hour.
No.
I'm just kidding.
God.
I'm really just kidding. But this show, was big time D1 talent in the first hour.
You're right.
I'm your host, Zach Lucero, making bad jokes like that. At Zach A. Wack on all social media. Sitting across from me is the baby goat himself, Mr. Nolan Hogan. Say what's up.
What up?
And we are getting produced by a local legend. If you haven't heard of him, just turn it up a little bit. His name is Stoop Daniel.
What up? Appreciate you. Paul Rodriguez, Recon Athlete. Before we go to Jalen Brown, our alumni guest of the night, Jalen, hold on, fam. We got a lot to talk about. Paul Rodriguez, Paul, we just, like I said, we had like a D1 theme the first hour. But, you know, the Austin area is really putting on right now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a ton going on in the Austin area, from Westlake to Liberty Hill out to Aikens. You know, we got young people out there on the West Coast visiting Cal and USC. It's a fun time right now to be alive with all these great talent, as well as all the great talent that we had last year at all these good schools that are, you know, staying home. They're staying within the state, so which is a fun time to see. But yeah, it's a good time now for everyone. You know, Georgetown with Darson Herman getting that offer from Davidson.
Yes.
The ball is going to drop for that young man at QB for Georgetown. I'm waiting for that as well, for him to pop big time.
Oh, did you hear that Daniel – oh, never mind. Let me shut up. never mind. All right. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Paul, so that first hour we had Nicholas Hall, the big offensive lineman at Aikens. Issa Torres, the shortstop from Georgetown, is committed to Texas A&M. Keaton Kubeka from Westlake, and Lloyd Johnson from Liberty Hill. What, in terms of all those athletes, what really sticks out to you from that first hour?
I think Keaton Kubeka is someone that Stoop and I kind of talked about last year, who was under the radar with his injury. That young man, I mean, I have him rated as like a 4-star young man. He's going to be a baller. Also at Westlake, I want to give a shout out to Bray Lynch. He also picked up offers this week, so he got one from Indiana, I believe, yesterday.
He did.
But Kate Keaton, I mean, I think he is going to have a big year with all the talent on that squad over in Westlake. But the same thing can be said for Lake Travis as well. I'm looking for more of those young people to get their offers to pop off as well. I think DJ Derek Johnson had an offer from Lamar, I believe, at the beginning of this week or early in last week. So there's more offers coming in on the daily. There was a run today. Braylon James, he was out in USC. He got offered this afternoon. So there's so much talent here. People, if you're sleeping on Austin, good luck.
You know, Paul, real quick, I was trying to compare, Caleb Burton and Braylon James. I think people can have a legit argument over who they think has the most upside. But now I have a new question. Is it Keaton Kubeka or Jaden Greathouse?
Wow, that's a fun one, too, since, they're still in the same squad. I would probably have to say because we've seen great Jaden since he was a freshman, balling out the way he was, winning state titles. I think for Keaton, I think the upside is just going to be greater because we're going to get to see him mature into his junior and senior year. So I think I'm going to go with Keaton on the upside because, I mean, Jaden is pretty much just an established young person at this time. Like, he's a lock to go big Power 5 D1, and I think Keaton is going to get there as well. But his route running is really what's impressed me as far as Keaton goes.
Yeah, Keaton Kubeka reminds me of that go-to receiver that Southlake Carroll had, and I think he was signed or already committed to Minnesota. Yeah, so I think they play a very similar style. But Paul, my last question to you is, we talked last show about that dead period being lifted, and since then we've just seen people going crazy. On these recruiting trips and talking to coaches and getting offered. And if you think back to years past, obviously last year doesn't count, but if you think back to years past, have you ever seen a beginning of the summer that athletes are just going this hard in terms of recruiting?
Not even close. This is, I think Snoop coined the term last year, like we're in the golden era of recruiting for the Austin area. And I think it's continuing into this year, especially what happened with COVID coming in, late or early of 2020. And now there's just this big explosion because there was, I believe, 7 extensions to that dead period. And now that these young people can get on campus and just get all kinds of shine and flex from all the, the recruiting pundits out there and analysts who are writing article after article after article on Twitter, it's just good to kind of see them get the shine. I want to give one, we talk about all these big schools, and let me give a little bit of shine to another young person out of Weiss, Jeremiah Robinson, who picked up an offer this week from Bethel College, the Thrashers out there at Oklahoma. Good for him. His counterpart out there is just going to be tremendous. So Weiss, I think, is going to have a big year next year going into their district as we move forward for football season.
I think that you're talking about Micah Gifford, who honestly, for as good as Jeremiah Robinson is, Micah, who's a year younger, I feel has passed him on the recruiting scene. So there's just so much talent in the ATX, so I'm excited. All right, what?
That 23 class of receivers is just loaded here in the Austin area. From Keaton to Braylon to Micah, and we could have another explosion of 23 kids as they go into their junior year.
Yes.
We might just find them this year.
Zach, okay, that's it. Paul, thank you, man. That was solid. As we get closer to the season, we'll try to make this segment a little longer because we really could talk about like 1,000 things. Before we let you go, are you shouting out to anybody?
Hey, man, just shout out to y'all. I see that swag y'all had out, them jerseys that y'all copped, looking fresh with the home in the way. Man, they are nice, guys. And then I see y'all, they looking real nice. I'm a little jealous, I have to admit.
It's all Zach Lucero. Thanks,
hey, man.
Zach.
I appreciate y'all letting me come on. Shout out to Flex, baby.
Hey, Paul, shout out to you. Paul Rodriguez Show, Monday through Friday, Facebook 7 to 8. We'll talk to you soon. It's a Flex. Zach.
Hey, that recruiting section is kind of goated. Not many people are talking recruiting the way we are.
No.
But you know, speaking of goats, we're bringing the Goat Hour back starting today. The 10th of June, the Goat Hour is officially back, and we have a goat right here on the show with us right now. The former quarterback for the Cedar Ridge Raiders, the current quarterback at Texas Southern University, repping for the ATX, repping for the HBCUs, repping all over the state of Texas, man. Shout out to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen, thanks for joining the show.
Hey, my bro, JB. Hey, fam, how you liking Texas Southern? That's the most important question I want to ask you tonight. How you liking it down there?
Man, I love it down here. It's just we're building up a great program with, you know, my class was the first recruiting class for our new coaching staff, so it was kind of a rebuilding year. And we brought in a lot of good freshmen this year that's going to just make us better. And, you know, we started summer workouts last week, and we just look better overall as a team, and we're joined together. So hopefully we can make a run for the title this year. That's the plan.
Man, JB, it was so cool to run into you at that Westwood SQT a few weeks back and get to kind of catch up with you and some of the players there. And man, you're so well respected in the area, man. I feel like you're on a Cedar Ridge team. It's not Lake Travis, it's not Westlake, it's Cedar Ridge. It's still one of the best teams, but it's not the biggest school in the area. But kids still look up to you and hold you in such high regards. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's just the relationships that you're able to build throughout football in the Austin area, or what do you think it is about you and your personality that really holds you in such high regards with some of the current talent in the area?
Man, I think it's just exactly what you said, just a relationship I built with, you know, a lot of the young kids. And I know a lot of people just because I've been from, you know, I went to Hopewell Middle School, which was supposed to feed into Stony Point, so I grew up with everybody on that side of town. But I ended up transferring to Cedar Ridge and just made great relationships all over the place, you know, just through football. That's why football is such a great sport, especially around Round Rock, Austin area. Everybody knows everybody, and we just treat each other like one big family. So like, when we see each other, we just know what it is, that relationship's there, and we'll always be families.
Yeah, Snoop, you should have seen JB talking to the kids, man. I felt like I was at a JB like TED Talk talking to these kids, man. I'm bummed he's not like all the way back home yet, because having him in the studio would have been lit. But let's talk about recruiting a little bit. You heard us talking recruiting before you came on. You know, Snoop was like, I'm gonna tell JB to call back, and I was like, no, it's not. He didn't really call into a radio show if he didn't have to wait on hold for a little while. So we appreciate you sticking that out with us. But man, you think of Austin area recruiting, you think of like, man, it's so under recruited. Like, we don't get the shine. Like, it's one athlete here, one athlete there. But then you look at it now, and it's Division I talent all over the place. What are your thoughts on just kind of the landscape of recruiting here in your city?
Man, it's just crazy to see how big recruiter has grown. Like, I can remember my freshman year, like first getting into like just recruiting and stuff like that. We had, you know, Cedar Ridge my freshman year, I think that would be a 16 class. We had so many dogs in that team, like Garrett Shaw, Kobe Pearson, all of them. So like just seeing them who weren't very highly recruited that could have been Power Five, and then just watching how, you know, the 19 class with Garrett Wilson, Jalen Ellis, like Elijah Higgins, all of them, they just brought so much attention to us. And then, you know, you got the class of 20 with Deuce, who was a highly recruited, Colin Sullivan, and just year after year, more recruits are going to come to the Austin area, and they're going to realize that they don't got to go to Houston and Dallas just get top talent, because Austin has it too.
And then when you look at recruiting now, you're looking at this class of 20, class of 21, class of 22, class of 23 even. What are some of the names that, even over there all the way at Texas Southern University, you're hearing about some of the big names here in Austin?
You know, of course, we're going to hear about Caleb Burton, you know, great receiver. You know, Braylon James, I've been knowing him for a while since he was in middle school.
We were there when he got that Georgia offer.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. We're literally sitting there. That's crazy that, you know, he's on the phone with Georgia. Just seeing, it makes me happy just seeing a lot of, you know, my little brothers just getting all these big-time offers. I'm just happy for them because I want to see them go fulfill their dreams and play at the top level of football. So that's just happy to see.
Jaylen Brown, former Cedar Ridge quarterback, bringing the Go Hour back on Flex ATX, currently at Texas Southern University. Texas Southern being an HBCU, I feel like we've seen that really as of late kind of be a little more popular.
Yes.
I think people trying to maybe stay home or go to the local HBCU, even top talent. We see it in basketball a little bit. And
Houston Tillotson got a ton of kids playing baseball going there next year.
Was going to an HBCU something that was important to you in recruiting, or was it something that just kind of developed as you were looking at some of the schools that were checking you out?
So when I first got offered by Texas Southern, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't really know a lot about HBCUs. I knew a little bit because my dad, he actually went to Southern and he played football there, so he knew a lot about it playing in the SWAC. But as I just been recruiting and learned about the history of Texas Southern and finally got up here and just fell in love with the city of Houston and just the rich history that Third Ward has. It's called Historic Third Ward for a reason. So it's just great to learn. So I would definitely say it's just a relationship that I've built and just keep building and just falling in love with HBCUs. And especially now we got Deion Sanders in the conference and all these big-time coaches. Sean's really going to come to HBCU, so I hope a lot of big-time athletes don't run over to Alabama, LSU, and just consider, you know, coming to HBCU, just change the culture.
Yeah, speaking of big-time athletes, I think it was on your Instagram, you're posting that you're working out with guys like Casey Washington and some of the big area talent, being able to throw to these big-time receivers. What have those workouts been like, and how fun is it to get to catch up with those guys back in Austin?
Man, it's great. Every time we all run into each other back at home, it's always a fun time. You know, we're going to go to the field. We're going to get to work in, you know, Casey, Jalen Ellis, Deuce. Once we all link up, and then more surrounding talent too, like Sean Fresh from LBJ, Taj Brooks from Maynard. It's just a great time. Just having a relationship with those type of players is in anything and everything an athlete can ask for.
Hey, you know, I saw one picture. You looked like you were out wide trying to catch some passes. When we were talking at that Westwood SQT, he was like, I low key would have been the best tight end in the district. How are you looking nice out there when you line up at receiver?
I'm telling you, if I could go back and do it again and live another life, I'd play tight end. I'd be the best. I would have easily been a 4 or 5-star tight end.
Wow. I bet he would have too. He would have caught it and then just trucked the safety of DB trying to come up with a tackle. For real. All right. Well,
man, Jalen, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. As soon as I got to catch up with you at that Westwood, I was like, man, I forget how cool of a dude that guy was, man. It was so fun to cover you when you were playing in high school and now maintaining our friendship and our relationship now that you're at Texas Southern, man. Now that you're getting up there, we're gonna have to step out one time when you come to Austin.
Hey.
Of course. You know, got to.
Hey, you know the deal, man, out here on Flex. Who are you shouting out to before we let you go?
You know, shout out you guys. Just the continuous love through all the years, you know, even after high school. Shout out you guys. I want to shout out, you know, my parents. Shout out Texas Southern. We're going to build something special up here, and we're going to change the culture.
Jalen Brown, man. One of the best. Cedar Ridge, current Texas Southern. Hey, we're going to be at the Westlake SQT tomorrow if you want to make a little appearance. I know you're pretty famous.
Oh, of course. I might pop out there. You know, we just finished workouts for the week, so I might be coming home.
All right, Jalen, man, we appreciate you, Jalen. Jalen Brown, everybody.
JB, thank you, bro.
I appreciate
you, fam. All right, we'll talk to you soon. It's a flex. Zach?
Man, I forget how fun that goat hour was. It was so fun, man, just catching up with these people that just a couple years ago, they would have been the feature on the show.
Yes.
Having Jalen Brown on the show as the quarterback at Cedar Ridge would have been like the highlight of the show. And now we're maintaining that relationship, just like he said, and continuing the coverage, continuing that relationship. And who knows, maybe he's going to become the best quarterback or the best tight end or whatever.
In SWAC history.
In SWAC history,
there we go. Okay, it's all right. So we'll put it in the air. Time is 8:19. We are still, let me see. We're still, has the game started? Hold on. Let me see if I can hear the game. By the way, Rouse.
And PJ Tucker and KD going at it.
Whoa.
Dang, I'm not, come they're on, not, man. They're not throwing up hook 'em horns, I'll tell you that.
All right, dripping. Oh, what? Now it's like buffering. Oh, what a nightmare. The good thing is that this game, Rouse and Hallsville, started late. So we'll take a break and come back, see if we can get you a little audio from the matchup. We should be approaching the first inning. It's 8:20. They haven't even thrown the first pitch yet. It's a flex.
Because y'all listen to Flex ATX every Thursday night here on the Horn. 8:26 is the time. I'm your host, Zach Lucero, at Zach Ain't Whack on all social media. I'm sitting across from the baby goat himself, Mr. Nolan Hogan.
What up?
What color jersey tomorrow, Nolan?
Black. Black jerseys.
Black jerseys
away.
Tomorrow. You will see Snoop in the black jerseys, and you will see him, and you'll be so starstruck because he is a local legend, Mr. Snoop Daniel himself.
Can I wear it tonight?
I don't know. Me and Nolan are going to have to
decide. Because, dude, oh, my God, yeah. I'm like, if y'all say no, then I won't. I really won't because I know, like, we've been waiting to rock these jerseys, and they're so fresh.
I mean, you might match with Rouse if you wear them.
Yeah. It'll be baseball-like.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it is a baseball
think
jersey.
About it. Just think about
it. We'll think about it.
Because
you're also going to wear it for your Fox bit.
Yep, tomorrow morning.
You're going to wear it for Light the Tower?
You don't want to get it all musty or anything.
Yeah, you don't want to get it all musty.
I don't sweat, so it's all good.
Are you producing Light the Tower tomorrow?
No.
You got a sub?
John Reichel.
Shout out.
Shout out, John.
Rowdy Roddy Reichel. He is a real ARN MVP, really. What a guy. Especially since Pika.
Yeah, no one will ever be Sam.
Correct.
Sam was the GOAT. Sam would be producing the show right now if he was still here. But John Reichel is definitely doing all he can to fill those shoes.
Yeah, and he does well. All right, so we still haven't had the first pitch for Rouse versus Hallsville.
They're waiting for the show to end.
Yeah. Waiting for Snoop to get there.
Wow. Yeah.
Are you throwing out the first pitch? And they just
I am.
Starting
well,
until you
know,
throw it?
I'm not leaving here until the end of the show, so they're just going to keep on waiting. Oh, excuse me. Wow, that was gross. Where is the stats on that?
Live show.
Yeah, it is a live show. I'm trying to pull up Thomas Jones' tweet. Because he had a really interesting stat on the pitchers tonight. Of course, for Rouse, it'll be Wharton College signee Andrew Kidhill, who had a heck of a game against... So Kidhill pitched the first 7 innings of that game against Dripping Springs that wound up going 14 innings, ending 2-1. So Kidhill went 7 innings, and then they had this kid, Colby Diaz, who's a Texas State commit, pitch 7 innings. Well, it was 6 innings, 10 strikeouts, and no hits allowed. So, Rouse pitching is off the chain. So, Thomas Jones' tweet says, going to be a great pitching matchup tonight. Rouse's Andrew Kidhill, 7 strong innings and 2-1 win over Dripping Springs that sent the Raiders to state. He's 9-3 overall, 2.39 ERA, 120 strikeouts. Hallsville is countering with a Texas State signee. So, he's in the same class as Ryder Hernandez from Cedar Park. He goes by the name of Jeb Drury.
There's another one going to Texas State, too. That we just had on the show recently, right?
Texas State baseball. Who? Oh God, we've had so many dang people.
Then we asked him about Ryder Hernandez. That's gonna bug me. I'm never gonna be able to fall asleep.
Never?
No.
Oh my God. Help him, Nolan. So, anyway,
I have no idea.
The Jewelry kid from Hallsville, 12-3 overall record, 105 Ks. It should be a pretty good
105 Ks. Jeez.
Yeah, 105 Ks. Well,
how many starts?
15. Well, yeah, but you know how win loss.
That's a lot of strikeouts.
Well, Kidhill had 120.
That's a lot of strikeouts.
That's a lot of strikeouts too. Oh my God.
The winner of the game will play Barbers Hill, who beat Amarillo 12-8 earlier today. So
Barbers Hill went to state in softball. You were talking about that too. Any bat and ball sport at Barbers Hill is very good.
And I always get a little scared of playing a team where both of the teams are having like massive success. Example was Beaumont United. Beaumont United boys won the state title this year. They beat a big Dallas team. I can't remember who, but their girls team got beat by Cedar Park, and nobody was going to beat the Timberwolves this year as far as girls basketball. But yep, still pregame. Actually, we might have top of the first action here. Let's check. SHN Sports.
Shout out
Michael Francis. Let's hear some action from Dale Diamond. Rouse Hallsville. UIL 5A. Oh, God. And now it's buffering again.
Hey, real quick, shout out Salado football. We had a text here. Rook Brown from Salado headed to Wyoming. And Kofi Stoglin, middle linebacker from Salado, going to play baseball at Oklahoma Wesleyan. They were in that big game against Hendrickson.
Really? For ball one. Okay, here we go. All right. As long as we have action. Oh, my God. It's a nightmare.
Hendrickson Salado, right? Or that was
I'm not
Seguin,
even
going to
try
right?
it anymore.
That was Seguin that Hendrickson played.
What,
that
football?
crazy
the
football game.
70 to, I think the game was like 70-68 or something like that.
Wild.
Okay.
Seguin, yeah.
So, okay.
Let's try it again.
Texas High School Championship Baseball here in Round Rock at the Dell Diamond, home of the Round Rock Express. Drury winds and delivers, a swing and a miss. He was Keegan out. Solomon, a pitch down and away.
So Rouse is the designated visitors team up to bat first.
He's just trying to get the speed right.
One game, right?
We'll be okay. Drury's a commit to Texas State.
That's going to happen probably all through it. I don't know what's going on with that connection. So anyway, it's 0-0, top of the first, in Round Rock, Dell Diamond, Rouse taking on Hallsville for the chance to play Barbers Hill in the state UIL championship this Saturday at noon.
If you're looking for updates for that game starting in about an hour, follow Flex ATX.
Bro,
you'll be out there.
I'm going to be wilding out. Am I going to wear my jersey?
No, no jersey.
No jersey?
I think no jersey.
Okay. Well, that means, oh, man. Hold on. Like, I'm having to rearrange.
Wear your long sleeve, the Flex long sleeve.
Oh, it's way back in Del Valle at home.
Oh.
Stuff yeah. on the way.
It would have been good for the mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah, on the way, my butt. No. Oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about that hellacious game. When I went to see Round Rock play Los Fresnos, I drove 3.5 hours to get to that game. We lost 11-2, and the mosquitoes took, like, 4 of my 8 pints of blood
from
me.
You were talking about that. You really kind of were, like, not the best luck for some of these big-time teams.
No way, no.
Dude, you said it. You even
the
mentioned
Snoop
it.
Snoop curse.
No, you even hell no.
You're at so many games, they can't even be possible.
Yeah. I think
you got to go see a team. You got to go support a team that's like a big underdog and then go watch them, and then maybe you'll be like,
you know what, that's what happened to Hayes, and they beat Vandegrift
yeah,
in the playoffs.
Yeah, like, it was like a reverse curse.
Rouse,
who's the favorite?
Because with Rouse, the first game I went to with them, they lost to Leander, and it was their first district game. I was like, I can never go to another Rouse.
Who's the
game
favorite
ever.
In this game tonight?
According to Craig Way, 5A is wide open. He's like, there is no favorite, not even Barbers Hill, he said. So, I don't know.
Craig Way knows.
Jinxing anything. I'm not that powerful. All I do is I'm on social media. And I've caught more incredible moments than anything.
Yeah.
I caught Dripping Springs beating Wakeland in girls soccer. Vandegrift lost to
Hayes.
No. well, they did. The soccer team.
Shout out to
Flower Mound. They lost to Flower Mound. So I was there for a loss there, but I'm not a bad luck charm. Dang that.
Yeah.
I've seen too many wins to be a bad. I've seen some losses too, but, you know, Austin is never, when you get to that level, they are rarely the favorite.
Yeah, so maybe Rouse is the underdog tonight, so if you go see them, then you're good.
I have no power like that.
if Lil B has power, you definitely
have
power. Oh,
God, Lil B.
You're the Snoop Daniel.
Base God.
I'm the base god. I'm the base god of the ATX. The fact that I'm talking about Little B, the base god, on ATX radio airwaves, I feel
special. But speaking of power, let's put together some power rankings for this Westlake SQT.
Okay.
Let's go pool by pool, and then we'll pick our favorites, and then kind of rank the each pool favorite. We're not going to include the teams with the star, meaning they've already clinched a state 7-on-7 berth. Pool A, going to be playing at Chaparral Stadium, probably where we'll be kind of calling home base. Westlake Chaparrals, already Clint State.
Mm-hmm.
Bastrop Bears, Lehman Lobos, San Marcos Rattlers.
Okay.
Hot Snoop.
You like San Marcos. I somewhat agree because Isaiah DeLeon, their excellent quarterback, who was outstanding as a sophomore last year for Coach Walsh. And what's really fun that I'm actually interested in watching is Kanui Guidry playing for San Marcos when he came up as a freshman for Lehman. And Kanui Guidry was supposed to be the future of Lehman football. Like, right. Almost a little bit like Bryant Lewis was when he played as a freshman.
No, what's his name that's at Baylor?
Henderson.
Tyler
Henderson.
Yeah, that's kind of like that type of thing?
Yes. Yeah, but Tyler Henderson, he stayed at Lehman the whole time, which is admirable. Because you always see a lot of Lehman kids transfer, like, for whatever reason. Whether they transfer to Hayes or Johnson. I haven't seen a lot of Lehman to Johnson. More Lehman to Hayes.
Well, not yet. There hasn't been time to see.
There's only been 1 year. But we talked
I wish they were in this tournament.
Who?
Johnson.
Yeah.
That'd
have been cool.
They're playing, like, league play, which is fine. It's just there's no, like, badass prize. You know, like,
if we
going
had,
to state is awesome.
If for some reason, like, something were to happen where, like, maybe we were to, like, I don't know, make our own 7-on-7,
yeah,
like,
maybe
all-star tournament or something, I think that quarterback for Johnson, he could have been
Jesse Medina
on the watch list for that.
Okay.
And that would be a guy to see. That'd be fun to see a guy like that ball out with some of the big area talent. So, Pool A, Nolan, who do you have coming out of that?
I'd like to see Bastrop. I mean, they haven't been up in a couple years, but I mean, I think they might have a solid chance at winning that pool.
You know, stupid, is a pool like this exciting for you? Because
it
this is three teams that you haven't seen really at all.
That's what makes it exciting for me.
And yeah. I know your favorite part about the 7-on-7 is you're learning names. Is you always tell me that you're learning names, you're seeing faces of people that Austin American Statesman, no shade, Dave Campbell's, no shade, IHS fan, no shade, that haven't even heard of. And,
right.
And you're going to be the first one to know. And I think that is really apparent in this Pool A.
You know what? If you had watched 7-on-7 going into the year before COVID happened, you would have known who Jayden Greathouse was coming out of eighth grade because he was mossing fools left and right. And to take an older example, that's how I discovered Elijah Higgins for Bowie. They had this freshman who was coming up, and he was man-childing seniors on the other side. I was like, who is this guy? I mean, 2 years later, and 1,000 offers later, he becomes a Division I athlete, but nobody knew who Elijah Higgins was. So 7-on-7, really low-key, if you want the inside scoop, and want to get a preview of what's to come. They aren't playing pads, but trust me, if they can go out there and get it athletically, the coaches are going to try to make those guys work during the fall.
So Snoop, you had San Marcos coming out of Pool A,
yeah,
Nolan, you had Bastrop. Snoop, what's your argument in your opinion of why you think it'll be San Marcos and not Bastrop?
Guidry, mainly. I think San Marcos, what they have, but one, they have like a ton of athletic pieces, and what John Walsh is building there. You know how, like, usually when a program is about to turn around, that first year the head coach will win one game or zero games, almost like they're tanking. I really feel San Marcos will challenge for a playoff spot in 26-6A this year, and it's going to start this year and this summer. De Leon is really the main key. I mean, he is their signal caller.
Have you met him, Walsh? Yet.
I haven't yet.
So hopefully we'll get to to say what's up to him.
I
want to,
like, give you some names though for so you know Cannon Webb, the all district defensive back for San Marcos that signed with Texas State.
Mm-hmm.
He has a younger brother who will be a sophomore. He was a freshman on varsity last year, but his name is Cutter Gage Webb, and they're saying that
that's
he could
cool
be
name.
Better than Cannon Webb, and Cannon Webb is like Mount Rushmore San Marcos football player. So we'll get to see him tomorrow. I guess all of the people that we spotlight during 7-on-7, you'll see him on social media over this
weekend.
Shout
out the iReporter for Bastrop. I know she does good work.
Oh, well, it's Crystal Creek and Danica.
No, the one for Bastrop, the one that's related to.
Oh, Monroe.
Yeah.
Yes, what is her first name?
Some of the D, right? Demi or something like that?
I think it's Danica.
Yeah.
Monroe and Crystal Creek. Crystal Creek is also an iReporter assistant. She's also an all-district volleyball player. So I'm really excited about both Bastrop and San Marcos. That's probably where I'll start before I head back over to the studio to shoot Fox 7.
But. So then we got Pool B. So we got San Marcos coming to that pool. San Marcos or Bastrop. Pool B on the first practice field.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Hutto Hippos already clinched. Bowie Bulldogs, Liberty Hill Panthers, Cedar Park Timberwolves. Snoop, who do you like?
Bowie, but I wouldn't rule out Cedar Park. I think Cedar Park has a lot of unknown pieces when you talk about Nick Grulion, who is a state-level UIL track star, who really is going to get his only real shot at playing time in his final season, his senior year. And at Cedar Park, that happens a lot. Like in Vandergrift, too. Mm-hmm. You'll have a kid that was a role player, Austin Skoglund, key example on the defensive side. Small bit player as a junior, defensive district MVP as a senior.
Going to play college football.
Like a Michael Master DeCasa, who didn't play a lot as a junior, highly effective as a senior, and then goes on walks on at Baylor.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to use a bunch of Vandergrift examples, but to say that Cedar Park has a lot of unknown. Like, we had, like, not an argument, but just kind of a discussion on Instagram, and folks talking about our major returning all-district skill players, we were highlighting folks from Manor and other schools, but not Georgetown or Cedar Park, because all their all-district honorees are graduating.
Mm-hmm.
So, and somebody made the comment that, you know, like, all these other teams have all this talent only to get dusted by Georgetown and Cedar Park. And, you know, I was kind of against that comment, but, you know, in retrospect, he's right.
He's not lying, yeah.
They just erase and replace.
So from what you've seen from Bowie in these two 7-on-7 tournaments so far, do you think Cedar Park can hang with them in sevens?
I think Bowie, you know, I'm making this prediction. I think Bowie has their most successful season since 2016, and I'm predicting that Diego Tello, their quarterback, breaks their all-time passing yards record this year.
And for those that don't know, that only know high school football in the area for the big names like the Braylon James and the guys like that, Braylon James select 7-on-7 team, Diego Tello is the quarterback. So this is a guy that has experience throwing to the best of the best and has really single-handedly been leading this Bowie team to knocking on the door of qualifying for state 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and he has offers from UTSA and Texas State. So he just got those two Division I offers here like a week ago. And we didn't even really talk about that in the last show. But he's on the way. And then when you add in, and we really need to take a break, but like Cash Peters, Adrian Rodriguez, Noah Camacho, Noah Vasquez, they got to do Bowie got a squad.
All right, so really quick, Snoop, if you had to pick Bowie, Liberty Hill, Cedar Park, coming out of Pool B.
I would say Bowie. I would say don't be surprised if it's Cedar Park. And I would say I would be pleasantly surprised to see Liberty Hill.
If Bowie doesn't come out of their pool, it's gonna like hurt my heart because they've been so close, man. All right, Nolan, yeah. Really quick, Pool B, who you got?
I'm with Snoop. I'm gonna say Bowie, but I think in my opinion, Cedar Park and Bowie, that might be the game of the day to watch.
Yeah, and the Cedar Park Bowie matchup will happen. Actually, that'll be the last matchup of Pool B, so it could wind up being for the championship as Team 2 takes on Team 4. Quick break. We'll come back and talk Pool C and Pool D. Westlake SQT, it's a flex.
You can find it online, you can build it online, and you can have it delivered right to your home. LeafJohnsonFord.com. You don't have to come see us to get your new Ford. We'll come see you at LeafJohnsonFord.com. Not only can you get your best price, you can have your trade appraised and pick the financing option that fits you and your family. The entire process is right at your fingertips. And remember, every Leaf Johnson Ford comes with a 7-day money-back promise. Check it out online at LeafJohnsonFord.com.
Clean tracks only. Flex ATX. The time is 8:46. You know we got bangers. Clean ones. Instrumental ones. It doesn't even matter. I'm your host, Zach Lucero, at Zach Ain't Whack on all social media. Sitting across from the baby goat himself, Mr. Nolan Hogan. Say what's up.
What's up? I'm jamming over here.
And we are getting produced by a legend. I am blessed every Thursday night to get produced by the greatest producer in the history of producing, Mr. Snoop Daniel himself.
So Jambalaya, lineup announced, Future, Gunna, amongst others, September 5th. When are you surprised? And to me, I feel like they almost tried to rush getting into Jambalaya this year, and maybe they could have waited until next March and got a better lineup.
Well, I think it's just because everybody else is dropping their lineups.
Yeah.
All the other big-time music festivals are dropping their lineups. It's like you can't miss out. Everybody done bought their tickets already to all their concerts, and you drop your lineup later, nobody's going to want to go, I feel like. I think you got to.
Well, Nolan dropped, like, a mortgage payment on Rolling Loud tickets.
I did, yeah. Bought the tickets for Rolling Loud.
There's no comparison that concert to this one, but I mean, like, the lower tier acts, unfortunately, I just don't know a lot of, like, I don't even know the Kid Leroy guy in big letters.
Yeah. I mean, the Kid Leroy, he came up with Juice WRLD, but I mean, okay. He's nowhere near the level that Gunna and Future are at. So
I think Future's like really big, though.
He is.
Future's
huge.
I think Future's like really, really big.
He is.
But I think after that, I've seen Gunna live in concert, and he puts on a good show. Actually, his hype man had like a really, really, really high voice and was like kind of annoying.
Really?
Yeah, like he talked like way too much. It might have even been a girl, I don't know.
It was high pitched.
Yeah, like very, very high pitched. So that kind of took away from the show, but he does put on like a pretty good show.
I don't think anything can beat the lineup that 2016 and 2017 put on at Jambalaya, because they had Migos, They had
Speaking of Migos at midnight.
Future, they
Culture 3.
Oh, that's coming out
soon. Tonight.
Tonight
here in like 3 hours.
Let's go. But I mean, they had Uzi, they had Migos, they had Young Thug, they had.
It's really easy to look back in hindsight and talk about how good some of these lineups were, but if you think about it, they weren't that big. They weren't as big when that happened.
At that moment,
and that's why they were able to get them.
Well, 2016 was Uzi's pop off year, so they got him at a great time.
It was a pop-off year. You're right. You got them just as they were blowing up.
Like Travis Scott went to Malaluna in San Antonio one time, and everyone's like, oh, like, how come y'all won't get Travis Scott again? And it's like, dude, because Travis Scott is $1 trillion now.
Yeah, you got to pay $1 million to get him there. So
and they probably just got him the first time because he was local from Houston. Mm-hmm,
from H-Town. So interesting. All right, we got like 6 minutes or 8 minutes left to go on the show. Update on Rouse Hallsville. It is top of the second. We might can get a little audio here. I'm gonna keep my fingers crossed here. Let me pause a little. Yachty.
Lobo.
Let's see. Lobo. It's 2-1, 2 outs. Top of the second. Rouse up to bat.
Go get them, Raiders. Let's break some windows tonight. George Garcia.
Break some windows.
Field dimensions. Well, I believe
say good night to
it. Down the lines. This is hit out to right.
Got it.
And it's over the head. Kobe Diaz rounds third, and he's going to score. Drew Forcell rounds third. He's headed home. And Joe Sparshew is headed to third base with a stand-up triple.
Wow. Yes. Base is clear.
The
triple.
On the board. Boom. And taking the lead 2-0 here in the top of the second.
Dude,
perfect timing.
That's
got to
be so hard playing in a big ballpark like that as an outfielder.
Oh my gosh, because
it's a huge change. It's so much room. You don't want to play too deep and not catch any balls.
Yeah.
But if you play too shallow and that ball gets over your head, it's rolling forever.
Yeah.
This dude just got a stand up triple.
Mm-hmm.
So you just heard the super sophomore Joey Sparshew with a stand up. Two RBI triple. Score is now Rouse 2, Hallsville 0. Top of the second, 2 outs. UIL 5A state semifinal, or is it state tournament, but the final four game at Dell Diamond.
How perfect was that timing for Snoop there? God. That was awesome.
That's why you're the first producer ever.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right, well, I guess let's hear the rest of it. Sparshew's on third, and Rouse still batting, leading 2-0. SHN Sports, thank you for letting us play this.
Nothing in one. The count to Alepa. Swing and a miss.
For dude,
strike two. And Alepa
there.
Quickly
they got a good amount of
count.
People.
Yeah.
The Mitch is down the line.
That whole lower deck's
here
probably
to be 325
full.
Down the left and right field lines. 375
yellow on the air,
the
just so you know.
400 to straightaway center. Drury deals down and away for ball one.
Oh, my God. If they win. Oh, shit.
Keegan Solomon on deck.
I know he has two strikes, but if he bunts the ball down the third baseline, he's on.
1-2, swing and a miss, and that will do it for the Raiders second. They get two runs on one hit. They leave one. After
opens
one
up the ball
half,
game right there.
It's
opens
2-0.
It
all right, yeah.
Now you're pitching with the lead.
2-0.
That's
Andrew,
awesome.
Andrew Kidhill on the bump. 2-0 lead. It's bottom of the second. Hallsville coming up to bat, so... Yeah, Rouse looking good early. You know, baseball, anything can happen. I'll never forget watching Westlake lead Cedar Ridge 7-0. Going into the final top of the seventh inning, only to watch Cedar Ridge score 7 runs.
Dude, if you watch any college baseball this weekend,
really?
That was happening like all over the place.
That's crazy.
Dallas Baptist hit like a go-ahead. They were down 4 and hit a go-ahead grand slam.
Tennessee did the same thing. They were down 2 and they had a go-ahead walk-off grand slam.
How does that? You know, Dallas Baptist, they got a ton of Austin kids. They got two, Jeffrey David and Cole Moore from Georgetown. They have a pitcher from Vista Ridge whose name I can't think of, and another young man named Keaton Grady, who is a freshman who batted 343 this year as a freshman for Dallas Baptist University, repping the Elgin Wildcats. So is DBU still in it? Dallas Baptist, do y'all know?
I think they won that regional, right?
Yeah.
Because it was them in Oregon State.
Yeah.
And TCU's regional.
And TCU's out. So that's interesting. I know there's a high school baseball.
Florida's out.
High school soccer show, but we're talking.
Yeah, Texas USO. Shout out Craig Way.
Shout out Craig Way. Okay.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
So we got San Marcos coming out of Pool A. Bowie Bulldogs coming out of Pool B.
Predicting tomorrow's
They'll play each other.
Oh yeah,
San Marcos Bowie. You think Bowie?
I think Bowie would win that one just on based on familiarity.
I mean, I think looking at these two pools just straight up, not including the teams that have already clinched, we would have probably seen a rematch of the Lake Travis SQT in Bowie versus Westlake, which would have been fun. But I think if Bowie makes it out of that Pool B, I think they're a shoo-in to make it to state. But looking at Pool C, Lake Travis doesn't count, already clinched. Westwood Warriors, Vista Ridge Rangers, and the Bridgeland Bears. Snoop, who do you have coming out of that
one? Bridgeland's going to be favored. They have an Aggie commit at quarterback, but I love Vista Ridge.
I love
that they're skilled players. I think Dez Thomas is still... I think he's a lot like Josh Pell from Cedar Park in that they're brand new to the schools. Well, Josh Pell isn't new to Cedar Park, but they're brand new to being quarterback one, and it's going to take a little time for them and the skill players to all get on the same page. I think this weekend goes. And Westwood, they're still a little too young. Owen Norrell, class of 24, left-handed quarterback for Westwood. I think he learns this weekend. And, yeah, I got
it. Shout out the actual full-grown goat, Mr. Aaron Hogan, Texan, Dallas Baptist versus Virginia in the Super Regional this weekend.
Aaron, what's up?
He's listening to the show. He's supporting your dreams, Nolan.
He is. He's listening.
He's supporting you.
Shout out you, Dad.
Shout out dads all over the place.
Shout out Meredith, too. It's my sister's birthday today. So
Meredith?
Birthday shout out.
Hey, okay. Well, we got like a minute or
Dang,
two.
He's taking the time out of your sister's birthday to listen to you on the show.
They were just at her birthday
child,
dinner.
Dude, shout out.
They're probably on the way home from the birthday dinner.
Shout out to Nolan for being the favorite Hogan child.
Oh, wow. Even on Meredith's birthday? That's so jacked. All right, let's get out of here, man. I'm headed out to the Dell Diamond, 2-0, bottom second, nobody on, no outs. Houseville is up to bat and playing for a chance to play Barbers Hill in the state 5A championship on Saturday at noon. Dell Diamond, fellas,
if you have time, walk across the street and make a short trip over to Westlake High School. Watch them 7-on-7.
Yeah.
I think BK is going to make the trip and save us up for a little bit. That'll be fun. Shout out to everybody listening. Shout out to Aaron Hogan and the Horn for giving me this opportunity and this platform to do what I love. Shout out all my G's. Shout out God. Shout out gang.
Shout out the fam. Shout out my sister.
Shout out my dad. Shout out your sister. That was mean. Sorry.
Yeah.
Shout out
Meredith. She's probably maybe listening if she's in the car. But yeah, shout out my fam. Shout out my boys. And shout out Snoop.
Hey, thanks, Knowles. Okay, Dell Diamond, shout out Rouse. Let's go get this dub, leading 2-0. Tomorrow we are 11 hours away. We're 11 hours and 30 minutes away from the Westlake SQT. Check us out on Westlake campus. Follow the social media coverage at FLXATX, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Keep looking up. That's where it all is.
You know what's nice? You could drive to Whataburger right now if you wanted to. Yeah, you could hang a Louie, talk to Reggie at the counter, and get a freshly made 100% beef double meat Whataburger with melted cheese and fresh cut veggies on a 5-inch bun. It's just the delicious freedom you have living in the land where there's Whataburger. Of course, some people aren't in that land. I wonder what they're doing right now. Probably thinking about a road trip. Good thing it's so close you can taste it. Good thing there's Whataburger.
Hey, Austin.